Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, Secretary Hepler. I'm John Lott here for those on the audio feed. I'm the Aquatic Resources Chief. And this afternoon, what we have for you is an update on the department and the state government response to the discovery of zebra mussels in Lake Sharp in July. There was an emergency rule that was adopted by the commission in July that classified Lake Sharp and Lake Francis cases containment waters. And this presentation here will go over the immediate steps that have been taken and then some thoughts on long-term planning. These speakers for the presentation this afternoon will be Jana Ohm, the Strategic Communications Director for the department, and then Mike Greiner, the AIS coordinator.
Okay, so we have a lot to get through today, so we'll try to go quickly to leave some time for discussion. Basically have to set up as a timeline for you guys for our response. So beginning July 10th, a member of the Army Corps of Engineers brought in what they suspected were adult zebra mussels from inside Big Bend Dam. It was visually confirmed by Chris Longhenry in the Chamberlain office, and we quickly threw together both GFP staff but also the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and PIER to get out there immediately the next morning to start sampling on July 11th. We coordinated with the Fish and Wildlife Service we have stationary samplers at boat ramp docks to go and investigate those and then to investigate the shorelines upstream and downstream from those locations, and coordinated with the Corps to inspect the dam and to safely scuba dive on the spillway and dam face. And our scuba team also dove in Francis' case. So upon entering the dam and getting the tour from the Corps, immediately found several zebra mussels in the dam pit and gate area, dove the stilling basin and outlet structure, and found at least one mussel in each location. And we were diving at depths of 10, 20, and 30 feet. And later that day, after discovering those, went to do the dives on Francis Case. And we dove from the Snake Creek access, Platte Creek, North Point, and North Spillway without detecting any mussels. At the time, high flows and low water clarity reduced the detection probability in Case. So as I said, Fish and Wildlife Service helped us look around. Unfortunately, most of our Hesterdendi samplers had been cut and removed. In the picture there on the left, I'll talk about citizen science monitoring later in the talk, but we have these artificial plates set out at high-use boat ramps, and it's something for the larval mussels to attach to, begin to settle out and grow upon, and it's one of our early detection monitoring methods. Nothing was found on the plates that remained, and nothing was found on the shoreline inspections.
The initial communications that were sent out upon discovery of zebra mussels included a press release that went to members of the media and an email that we sent out to approximately 97,000 of our contacts. So we got that information out far and wide. There were also social media posts on this topic, many, I think all of which actually directed our fans, our connections to sdleastwanted.com, which is the website we have specifically dedicated to aquatic invasive species.
So beginning the next week, we completed the villager samples for Sharp and Francis Case. Those were initially going to be the prior week, but we were a little busy with the immediate response, so we got out the next week. At the same time, the summer fish meeting was going on, so at that meeting, discussed potential research options going forward in the future. Basically, our villager sampling is a water tow, and we bring it back into the lab using cross-polarized light. You look for these basically, veligers and ostracods are the only thing in the water column that will kind of illuminate like that under the scope. So you go through a large volume of water looking for these, and there's slight differences in size and shape of them. And if we have a suspected veliger, we then confirm that through a genetics laboratory in Colorado. So the week after that, we held a conference call with parks, law enforcement, and aquatics field staff to bring them up to date and to talk about what our immediate field responses would be, and prioritizing this and shuffling of work duties and work plans. Provided a commission with a range of management options for zebra mussels in South Dakota, as well as our position statement. We had the emergency commission meeting, and Sharp and Francis Case were designated as containment waters for our management. Commission drafted a letter to Governor Noem and to the other state agencies, and we immediately placed newly infested with zebra mussel signs around usable boat ramps all around Lake Sharp, and began updating our other outreach materials and signage, trying to make more simple, clear, easily digestible information for people. And we completed more scuba dives, this time in the Owyhee Dam tail race, where there was sufficient water clarity and no mussels were found there. And beginning the next week, we started a boat ramp saturation. We really wanted to get out and educate boaters that might not be aware. So at North Shore Boat Ramp, right at Big Bend Dam, we knew we had several locations of zebra mussels there, so our watercraft inspection and decontamination crews would go there daily, perform decontaminations on boats leaving if necessary, and pass out rat cards and other informational items. At the same time, sent Fort Pier fishery staff out to the other major boat ramps around Lake Sharp, being West Bend, Farm Island, Polo Field, and Downs Marina, to distribute these materials and talk to boaters. This basically continued through the entire month of August. That same week, we hosted the National Trainer for Watercraft Inspection and Decontamination Programs for all Western states. 30 permanent staff from aquatics, conservation officers, park rangers all traveled to Yankton, and we had very thorough training on watercraft inspection and decontamination. So now every region in the state will have certified inspectors and decontaminators with hands-on experience with it. We hosted marina operators and boat repair shops from the Lake Sharp area to discuss the impacts of zebra mussels, the ramifications of a contaminant water listing, and the business opportunities available to provide decontamination services, and the possibility of going through a training with us and being able to provide a department-approved decon. That week, we also continued with scuba dives, this time up on Lake Owyhee. We investigated around the dam face and the pillars near the intakes and did not find any mussels.
Our social media activity continued during this time, and we also activated geofencing along within the area of Lake Sharp that allowed users who had their location activated on their cell phone, they received ads directing them to SD Least Wanted with messages about zebra mussels. We also provided Governor Noem with information about zebra mussels to use in her weekly article that goes out to many, many people.
So the next week, the boat ramp saturation continued. I attended the 100th Meridian Initiative Upper Missouri River Basin meeting. At that meeting, was able to talk to other state coordinators, discuss response options for South Dakota, funding opportunities, and other states' experiences and lessons learned. And the consensus was that you know, you have to determine what's appropriate for your state, but the most important things are to have rock-solid authorities and funding sources available. We hosted a work group meeting with other state agencies, including DENR, Department of Agriculture, Tourism, and Tribal Relations, and we discussed other options for these agencies to get involved. We also prepared zebra mussel management options for a briefing for Governor Noem, including regulations, our current regulation summary, our AIS program budget, and mandatory watercraft inspection and decontamination station options, as well as cost estimates for running those. And we presented the options of containment only, prevention only, a combination of both, as well as adding border stations with a mandatory inspection program. So in the next week, we had an internal discussion on AIS regulations and legislation. Using the model regulations and legislative framework provided by the National Sea Grant Law Center, Secretary Hepler met with Governor Noem and discussed those response options. The table at the bottom is showing up really small now, but basically what we have now are roving inspections where we send people to our highest risk, our highest use boat ramps, and these numbers here are what it would take to have roving inspections at every boat ramp along the Missouri River, and the total cost estimate is quite substantial. Over $8 million per year. And this didn't seem like the best use of resources or the most viable. So by, if you look at the map there, we provided the options for these mandatory inspection stations, which currently we wouldn't have the authority to put those in place. But if you look at the different colored dots, so the yellow dots would be a containment area along with four of the red dots around Lake Sharp. Basically, you're just trying to prevent anyone leaving there without being inspected and potentially being decontaminated. The yellow is containment. The red is prevention. So you see those around, you know, the western side of the state and up around Lake Oahe. And that's trying to protect our last Missouri reservoir, as well as our water bodies in the western part of the state. For the eastern part of the state, there are many more highways that could be frequented by boaters and many more waters. And the numbers would get a little out of control. So we presented that and as well as the authorities that we would need and the funding that we would need, and then talked about the surrounding states' funding sources, their regulations and rules authorities.
As Governor Noem became more aware and involved with the zebra mussel issue, she immediately volunteered to record a public service announcement, which we wrote and recorded with her, and that will be used in a variety of ways long into the future.
So going into the next week, we met with marina operators and boat repair shops in the Francis Case area, similar to the discussions we had in for Lake Sharp with the zebra mussel impacts and the ramifications of the containment water, as well as the opportunities to provide decon services. Our boat ramp saturations continued. And we had one adult zebra mussel found near West Bend between Jigs Landing and West Bend. An angler got snagged on bottom, brought up a stick, and there was one adult zebra mussel attached. Immediately went out to search the area, spent a day searching vegetation in the surrounding areas and likely spots for mussels to be, and did not find any more. And took more Veliger samples in those areas as well. And we are still processing those.
During this week, we reviewed our aquatic invasive species communication plan and what we had in place and what we wanted to work very hard to get in place leading up to Labor Day. I mentioned the geofencing on Lake Sharp, lots of sharing on social media of the public service announcement and different posts there. We also created another video that was shared on our YouTube channel and then pushed out through social media.
And then leading into Labor Day, kind of the last big voting session of the year, John Lott and Jason Simmons both attended the Western Governors Association meeting and attended a on coordinated muscle response and potential funding sources for Western states. We continued our Veliger sampling. Our samples are going to be processed by in-house in our lab in at Blue Dog State Fish Hatchery and in Sioux Falls, so that we can get our results faster on that to try to determine the distribution in both lakes faster. Our law enforcement conducted a saturation patrol on Lake Wahi. There was 57 boats stopped and 3 boat plug citations given.
You can see the graphic here. The loading, unless you're loading, launching, or on the water, all plugs must be out. These 3-foot by 5-foot banners were printed on vinyl, and these signs were posted at boat ramps in what we identified. I think we identified 11 key areas that we wanted these to go out. And we also worked with the Department of Transportation on message boards. We weren't able to utilize as many message boards as we had hoped due to construction projects needing those digital message boards, but we were able to have messages posted on the east and west sides of Chamberlain along Interstate 90, and there was another digital sign near Pickstown to alert boaters to zebra mussels in that area.
So overall, there were 17 law enforcement details with 818 boats checked and 104 boat plug citations given. Since the discovery in Lake Sharp, there have been almost 1,000 watercraft inspections and over 2,000 total for the year. Only 3 decontaminations were performed. This is to be expected in an initial infestation without having lots of boats that are completely encrusted with mussels on them. We've discovered zebra mussels as far up as West Bend and Lake Sharp, and we've not yet documented them in Francis Case, but zebra mussel biology tells us they will be there sooner than later, if not already. So in the next 1 to 2 months, we'll be hosting public meetings in Pierre and Chamberlain to discuss zebra mussels and address what the containment waters designation means for recreational boaters and anglers. We'll be giving presentations to South Dakota Wastewater Association, Lower Brule Tribe, Rural Water Systems, and at the Eastern South Dakota Water Conference. We'll continue our monitoring, scuba surveys, Veliger tows, and we'll be pulling the Hester-Denny samplers to check at the end of the year.
In the next 1 to 2 months and for the long term, we'll be examining our communication plan and making plans for the future. Some of those ideas include permanent billboards, podcasts that will produce internally, media engagement. I learned at the state fair that in-person engagement is going to be critical to this effort. So we'll be looking at trade shows and sports shows and ways to get out and meet with the public in that way. And planning is going to be critical. We'll need measurable objectives and strong strategies so that in 18 months or in 2 years, we are able to evaluate our efforts in a useful way and show that we have impacted we have impacted this issue with our plans. We know we have some streamlining of our messaging to do, which we will work on making that message crystal clear and making it look the same in all places and reaching a variety of audiences with that message. And so you'll definitely see some changes to sdleastwanted.com, among many other things.
And so going forward over the next year to year and a half, talked a little bit about the legislative authorities and funding necessary for mandatory inspection and decon programs. We'll need to evaluate options for securing those authorities and options for funding sources and consistent enforcement. We'll be identifying the priority waters around the state based on water chemistry and boater usage. And we want to incorporate research in our overall AIS management plan. Some of the ideas that we've had are changes in water quality, the distribution and abundance of zebra mussels, changes in growth and condition of sport fish, and dietary shift in planktivores as a result of these new infestations. Expand our citizen science monitoring program and outreach with lake associations. This could be dock inspections, helping also with our education and outreach, and then to meet with other state agencies and define what contributions can be made. All right. And then at the bottom there, the economic impact study completion and communication. So basically, I'm going to talk about a study that Montana completed at the beginning of this year, trying to assess what impacts to various stakeholders would be. When this came out, it seemed like a good idea that if we could do the same thing for South Dakota, we'd have a valuable tool to take to some of those other stakeholders to let them know the kind of impacts that they could be facing. So basically, this is a model framework for other states to use. It combines surface water withdrawal data from the USGS with estimates derived from peer-reviewed literature. The important thing to think about with this is the assumption is that it's colonization of every water body in your state at maximum potential. So just keep that in mind when you look at the numbers that I'm going to present. This is a worst-case scenario. So spring of this year, I crunched the numbers and estimated this worst-case scenario in South Dakota. And in summer, we submitted a letter of support and worked on a proposal with the research economist from Montana for a Fish and Wildlife Service grant that was awarded to ground truth the estimates in infested water bodies, both in Kansas and here in South Dakota. At this time, Montana has never had adult infestations, so these numbers are hypothetical, and so in the future, we're going to be ground-truthing these estimates and hopefully getting better estimates to take to our stakeholders. So these numbers Our annual estimates. Was not able to estimate property value loss as those data weren't available, but from the literature, that's about a 5.8 to 10% loss in lakefront property values with a infestation. And I'll just leave this slide up here with the numbers, but I have a couple slides if you have specific questions about different estimates and how those were derived.
Well, I wonder how we should do it. There might be more questions than we have time for at the moment, because we're supposed to do the public hearing at 2. So should we come back to this, or how would you prefer?
Mr. Chairman, there is an action item later in the agenda for proposals. Staff recommendations for AIS regulation changes, we could build in discussion into that item if you would like.
Okay, let's do it that way, and then we'll take a break now, come back to it, and go to public hearing now. Okay, thank you. So it is time for the public